Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
One thing just for the whole room, I really believe that the Lord is bringing fresh perspectives to us. And I saw it as like we holding like a gemstone. And we had our opinion of it because we were viewing it from that perspective. And some of us have negative opinions of certain things because we've just chosen to look at it from that perspective. We've decided that our perspective is all that there is. And we haven't submitted it into community. We haven't submitted it to the Word of God. We haven't processed it with Holy Spirit. We haven't done all these things that are blessings to us. And the Lord's saying, hey, I want to give you fresh perspective. I never meant for you to be isolated. I never meant for you to just do this on your own opinions, on your own strength. But I actually call you to, hey, maybe let's turn the gemstone. And I felt like in this season, the Lord is coming and things that we've made opinions of, and we're like, that is what it is. Maybe we've made opinions on the church. We said, the church is what it is. It will never change. The Lord's coming and just turning and going, hey, maybe look at it from this perspective. Maybe we've made opinions about people and gone, you know what? I'm cutting them out of my life. I'm not going to be a minister of reconciliation to that relationship any longer. He's saying, hey, why don't you just turn and see a fresh perspective? And I'm hoping that as I preach the word today, I can add to that. We're going to jump into John chapter 14. I'm going to talk about the discipleship of the Holy Spirit. The discipleship of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you essentially the key thing from the outset. And that is that the primary discipler of our entire lives is the Holy Spirit. He is the primary agent for transformation. He is the primary agent for change. He is the primary one that forms us into Christ-likeness. Without him, it doesn't matter who your rabbi is. If you don't have Rabbi Holy Spirit day by day, night by night, then you will not become Christ-like. And that's not just what I said, it's what Jesus said. So let's hear what Jesus has to say. John chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Cool, conviction just right there. Thank you, Jesus. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Let's pause there. Another helper. That Greek word there is parakletos. John uses it five times. And four times just in the next couple of chapters. Sorry, five times in the next couple of chapters and one more time in 1 John. In 1 John, it refers to Jesus. The five times in John's gospel, it refers to the Holy Spirit. Here, Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you another exactly like me. I often hear people go, oh man, it would be great to walk with Jesus. Hey, guess what you get to? It's the Holy Spirit. Another like me. That word parakletos, it means to one that comes alongside to help. So if you ever go, man, I really need some help right now, pray to Holy Spirit. So we get another, just like Jesus was to the disciples, we get that exact same thing. To be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. I hope, church, we know him. For he dwells within you and will, sorry, he dwells with you and will be in you. Prophesying of Acts chapter 2, he was dwelling like he was hovering in Genesis, ready to transform, ready to move chaos into order, to move out of the kingdom into the kingdom realm. He was ready to be in you. And just as that day they received the Holy Spirit, we too receive the Holy Spirit in the same way. Another helper to come alongside us forever. Do you still experience the help of the Holy Spirit? Or was that just something that you kept for your first days of salvation? Or the first time you felt his touch? Has it kind of gone dim a little bit? Where before you might have been having a conversation with someone and you started to go down the line of gossip and you heard Holy Spirit convict you, where it was so instantaneous, That's often the way when we come to the Lord or we've had a fresh touch of the Spirit. We can't tolerate unholiness in ourselves any longer because the Holy One's come to reside in us. If that's not your experience in the last week, maybe you need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need a fresh baptism tonight. You see, Jesus isn't just talking about anything. He's talking about what Luke speaks to as the promise of the Father. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 onwards, Jesus says to his disciples, wait for the promise of the Father. This isn't something that you can just do without. This isn't something that we can just go in, day out. But it was the promise of the Father. Not just to be baptized, but to have a helper, a parakletos, one that would come alongside. It is the promise of your Father in heaven. And I want what my Father promises me. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, it's forever. Day in, day out, it's forever. It's not the first time you experience the Holy Spirit, though. It's not the first time that we encounter Him. If you're in this room and you say Jesus is Lord, you've actually encountered the Holy Spirit before. You see, the only reason that you can declare Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the only way you can do that, the Bible says, is by the Holy Spirit. In Titus 3 verse 5 to 6. It actually, let's go there because it's good wording. The Bible's good. Chapter 3 verse 5 to 6. I haven't got it on the screens. He saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We haven't been saved by our works, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The way that Jesus says this to Nicodemus is being born again. You've experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You've experienced already the discipleship of the Holy Spirit. He discipled you to Christ. Now, church, let us disciple us into full maturity. John writes on. Verse 25 of chapter 14. These things I've spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus was called the great teacher. It was a great rabbi. He was called teacher by all of his disciples. Just before this, he says, you know, another helper, just like Jesus. The primary role of Holy Spirit is to teach us, to bring things to remembrance. Are we allowing Holy Spirit to teach us? Or we are just waiting for him to knock us under his power? Do we actually allow him day in, day out to correct, to change? Because he's called the Spirit of Truth. He teaches us, he reminds us. He also bears witness of the one that we are called to follow. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, there it is again, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. If you want to know what Jesus looks like, Holy Spirit will show you. If you want to know what you should look like, Holy Spirit will show you. His job is to lead and guide us into all truth, which is a coming up scripture, but to bear witness about the one whom we said we would follow. If you don't know where you're going, Holy Spirit is the one that's meant to show you, to show you Christ, to show you the image that you're being conformed into. Yes, let's read the scriptures, but even that can only be fully revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Secular scholars can read these scriptures all they want, but they won't find Jesus until they've allowed Holy Spirit to transform their eyes, for the scales to fall off, for them to come dependent, going, I actually want to find God. You can read these scriptures all you like, but if you don't read it with the helper alongside you, you will not find Christ. But if you do it with Holy Spirit alongside you, you will find Christ. Jesus goes on in a more extensive unpacking of the role of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It's like, what? Hold up. Got to understand, this whole passage of scripture is called the farewell discourse. It's Jesus saying to his disciples, I am going to go and die. And they're understandably kind of freaking out. They're like, where are you going? Are you coming back? And his response is, it's better that I go away. Because where Jesus was discipling only a few, Holy Spirit can disciple a whole generation, a whole humanity to the likeness of Christ. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. And when he comes, this is what he will do. He will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. Convicting, exposing, refuting, proving that the world is wrong on these three things. The world's definition of sin is incorrect, completely. You see, John continuously frames sin as unbelief in God. That is the primary sin that John's gospel unpacks. You do not believe that Jesus is God. And out of that flows every rebellion that is under the sun. And so when he's saying this, hey, the Holy Spirit's going to come and convict of sin, he's saying, I'm going to convict you of unbelief. I'm going to convict you that in that area of your life, you don't believe that I am Lord and I am God. I'm going to convict you that in your family, you don't believe that I am God. That in your family planning, when you're talking about having kids, you don't believe that I am Lord of Lords. Anywhere there is unbelief, the Holy Spirit is going to come and refute, prove you to be wrong, prove you to demonstrate to you that you are not God and He actually is. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, discipling us to actually be fully in belief that God is God and we are not. He's going to convict us of righteousness. Jesus says, because I am going to the Father. Jesus was the perfect example of righteousness. We don't have it in front of us right now, but we have the Holy Spirit. His job is to go, hey, that is right. That is right. That is not. This is life-giving. This is not life-giving. That's life-giving. This is not life-giving. Yeah. That's holy. That's unholy. If we allow Him to. He's going to convict us. He's going to show us that we are wrong where we think we are righteous, where we are self-righteous, where the world says, hey, this is the correct way. This is what brings life. Holy Spirit comes, no. This is what brings life. He disciples us into eternal life. He's going to convict the world concerning judgment. Simply put, the fact that evil, the enemy, the opposer has been judged completely. That where they judged, he's talking to a group of people that saw the Pharisees judge Jesus wrongly. He's saying, hey, Holy Spirit's going to come and prove them to be wrong, that their judgment was incorrect. That what the world judges as godly, he's going to come and teach us and show us what truly is godly. He goes on in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will not speak on his own authority. He will guide you into all truth. Something that I've heard, I've grown up in church, and I've often grown up in charismatic church circles, and a fear of the Holy Spirit is often, what if there's excess? Or I don't think that's the Holy Spirit. Or in prophecy, like, how do I know if someone declaring prophetically is actually declaring the truth of God or not? The Holy Spirit leads and guides into all truth. Okay. This discourse is just after, sorry, that phrase is just after Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, the Holy Spirit cannot speak out of, cannot speak in contradiction to his nature. So he's been declared the Spirit of truth. So if the Holy Spirit is in fact speaking, is in fact moving, is in fact touching you, causing you to bear witness, if it is true, then it is him. How do we have a rock solid foundation to determine truth? The Holy Spirit cannot deny the truth. So we need to know our word, because it is what divides between, Hebrews chapter 4 says, the word of God divides between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. What it's saying is what's life-giving and what's not life-giving, the word of God divides. So if someone speaks a prophetic word, then it needs to line up with the character of God. It needs to line up with the Spirit of truth. I feel like we need to come back to that, because some of us are fearful of Holy Spirit because he feels a bit chaotic, which is interesting, because in Genesis chapter 1, he's the one that orders the chaos. You see, Genesis chapter 1, it says that the earth was formless and void. The concept of that for Hebrews, they don't have a concept of nothingness. It was impossible for them to wrap their head around. So it was a chaotic, deep, dark ocean was what their concept was without God. It's unknown because I can't see what's in. It's dangerous because the waves are thrashing to and fro. You see, Holy Spirit hovered over that. And when the Father spoke, he ordered the chaos. And yet we're fearful that Holy Spirit is going to bring chaos to our life. Maybe it's just chaos to what we believe to be order, but isn't the order that he intended. John chapter, we're still reading this. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is, again, the ministry of Jesus now becomes the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 puts it in, chapter 2 puts it in the way of that we have the mind of Christ. The Spirit that searches the depths of God himself is ours. He takes what is Jesus and he gives it to us. These five statements are about the paraclete, the one that comes alongside. He points to truth. He stays with us forever. He's the promise of the Father. He's the one that reminds us and bears witness of Jesus, our own salvation. He proves us to be wrong when we aren't in alignment with Jesus. He convicts us when there's unholy things in our lives. We often are waiting for someone to disciple us into Christ-likeness when you've been given the Holy Spirit. He is the one that transforms into Christ-likeness. And I want to tell some stories of this in my life. You see, I remember my first summer camp. And summer camps are great, by the way. They're like youth camps, fantastic. And I had been saved, like I grew up in church. If someone asked me today, when were you saved? I actually couldn't necessarily give an answer to that, because I've always known Jesus and I've always had a relationship with him. But the day that I became sure of that, the day that I was sure of salvation, was the first night of youth camp. And I remember encountering the Holy Spirit so tangibly that I'd never felt like that before. And in that moment, I fell to the ground, and I was 12 years old, fell to the ground and began to weep like I hadn't ever before that. And I got up and the best thing that my youth leader could have ever said was, what did Holy Spirit do? You see, we often have these incredible encounters that have emotions attached to it, and we have these moments that are incredibly powerful moments. But because my leader said, what did Holy Spirit do? It invited then a process to allow the fullness of a moment to become something to actually transform me. So don't leave just something on the altar here. Don't go, yeah, that was a great experience. But often power comes to highlight something, to bring freedom, to then be processed and be transformed in our life. So he asked me, what did the Holy Spirit do? The only thing I could articulate to him was, I now know that I am saved. The Word of God says that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. How do you know you're saved? Well, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Our inheritance is eternal life. A piece of eternal life is in you. That's how I knew I was saved. It just brought me closer to Christ. You see, when you know you're saved, you live a little different. You're not living for approval anymore of God. So my prayer life completely changed. I was with God. I remember after that, it would have been about year 9, I was in a life group setting with a couple of leaders, and my leader said, hey, we're just gonna put some worship music on and we're just gonna pray for a bit, which was uncommon for a group of 15-year-old boys who were a bit rowdy. And so we put some worship music on and slowly like kind of calmed down and whatnot. And before long, there would have been only about 8 of us in the room. Before long, all 8 of us were flat out on our faces, weeping, and we just felt like this weight of the Lord upon us. And again, best question ever, what did the Lord do in that moment? My leader said, after about an hour of us all just flat out on the floor. And I said to him, God is holy. And currently I am not. So I need God to make me more holy. And they said, great. Well, we're going to open the scriptures together this week, the week after that, and we're going to commit together as men of God to become more holy. You see, there was this moment, but then Holy Spirit allowed it to transform us day in, day out. There was another youth camp a couple years later, would have been probably year 12, and we were in this incredible night meeting, and someone was preaching, and imagine up in that corner, a group of girls just start giggling. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Girls are just giggling in the corner. Like, that's a bit rude. I'd never been in a room that I'd experienced that before. And then the preacher's still preaching and ministering and going on. And up in the other corner, a group of boys start weeping. I was like, okay, well, I know that a bit more because I've experienced God like that, but it's a bit rude that they're doing it right now. The preacher's preaching. And before long, the meeting turned into what seemed to be absolute chaos. And I was sitting in the middle of the whole room and there was giggles on one side and weeping on the other side. And I was like, God, what is going on? And I remember Holy Spirit saying, just let go. Forget about what's going on over there. Forget about what's going on in there. They are experiencing me. How about you experience me? I was like, okay, Lord, I'll experience you. And I moved from this seat to the corner of the stage and I started to dance. 17 years old, a boy who was probably at camp also trying to impress the females, I was dancing over there. And I just danced and danced and danced and danced and danced and danced and I couldn't stop dancing. And I felt so childlike, so joy-filled. I felt like the Lord was just so pleased with me in that moment. And I danced and I danced and I danced. And when I finally stopped dancing, one of the leaders was there and I said, how long did I dance for? He said, you danced for an hour and a half. Probably the longest I ever danced for. I was like, oh, it didn't feel like that. He's like, what was the Lord doing? He said, I feel like I'm a child again. which is odd because I was a child, but you know what I mean. Like, I felt joy like I'd never felt before. You see, just prior to this camp, I had lost my grandma, completely unexplained, autopsy completely. There's no reason for her death. And in that moment, I had danced and felt so much joy. And the Holy Spirit discipled me back into a childlike state where I was in awe of what the Lord was doing. He restored my identity in that moment. In 2020, I was in this church. I was over there. I was worshiping the Lord. I was having a great old time. 2020, having a great old time. I'll rephrase. March 2020, I was having a great old time. and Corey got up on stage and he had a word for me. And he declared that I would be married. There was a woman of God. Thank you, Lord. A woman of God that was in my life already, but she wasn't presently in Melbourne. Kelsey and I were doing long distance for just over 3 years. And he declared that we would be married. What he didn't know was that a month prior to that, we had come together and we said, hey, we feel like in 12 months' time, we're going to get married. 2 weeks later, Corey went over to Perth to minister at Kelsey's church. And unknowing who Kelsey was, didn't know the connection between us at all, In a moment, not public, it was public in this room because that's what the Lord needed to do. But in her church, she hadn't shared with her youth team, for example, that she was going to move to Melbourne. She hadn't shared with some close people that like she hadn't wouldn't move to Melbourne. So the prophet came and declared the word of God in private, said word for word what had been declared to me. We came together and we were like, well, it's in the heart of God. But you see, in a moment, there's power, there's awe, there's incredibleness. You're like, oh, I feel seen by the Lord. But it was then the year of 2020 that Holy Spirit used the word of God to disciple me into Christ-likeness. Because 2020, I was stuck in Melbourne in lockdowns. I couldn't make it back to Perth. The first week of December in 2020, I finally got on a flight, the first flight out of Melbourne to Perth. It was 5.5 weeks before we got married. Kelsey and I didn't see each other for 10 months of that year. Kelsey's parents are not saved yet. That entire year, they kept saying, you guys are crazy. Thomas can't even get into the state. And you think you're going to get married in like 10 months? You're absolutely crazy. But we're like, no, the Lord said. And Holy Spirit discipled us in steadfastness, discipled us in the faith of God and said, but the Lord said, I know. I'm stuck in Melbourne. I know currently I can't even get on a flight without being stuck in a hotel for 2 weeks. I know. But the Lord said, yeah, it's great in a moment for the word of God to come. But the Holy Spirit then disciples you to live that word out. And I allowed him to. I allowed him to. If you're not sure, we got married. Is anyone's faith getting stirred for the things of the Lord? In 2023, I had one of the most incredible encounters with the Lord to this date. And it was 2022. And we were having a revival night. Pastor Tim Hall was here. Sometimes I hear Pastor Tim Hall. I love Pastor Tim Hall. But sometimes I hear him preach. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I was in this one of those nights where I was like, you're saying some great stuff, but I'm just not tracking. And he started to pray for people. And I was on team at that stage. And I was like, oh, yep, big guys. Pastor Tim Hall's praying for people. People going down. They need people to catch. So I spent the next hour just catching people. I was happy just catching people. And when he kind of finished up, I caught the last person, made sure they didn't hit their head on the concrete. And he looked at me. And he just said, Holy Spirit, come. And I dropped completely, lights out. I can't even tell you what happened, just completely dropped on the floor. That started the next about 5 hours where I felt the Lord so tangibly. And I came to just on the floor over there. If I keep pointing over there, it's because it was there. And I couldn't move. I was like, I'm going to get up now. And I couldn't move. And I couldn't get up. And I remember being overcome by fear because I couldn't stand. And I was like, Kelsey, I can't stand, tears steaming down my face. And I remember when I actually leant into it and the Lord was like, no, I'm not allowing you to stand. It's not that you can't stand, I'm not allowing you to stand. And a fear turned into awe and then turned into this absolute place of, well, if this is where you are, then I don't want to stand. And I don't want to move. And I don't want to go anywhere else. If this spot is where you are, if this is Bethel, the place where the Lord has touched, then I will stay here. And I stayed there and I lay there and I lay there and I lay there, just allowing the Lord to minister to my heart. And then they were like, we really need to lock down the church. So like, can this guy hurry, you know? And so they picked me up, they put me in a wheelchair and they put me in Pastor Joe's car and they drove me home and they put me in my bed and I was still there encountering the Lord. By that point, I was starting to giggle. I was starting to laugh. I was starting to speak like an absolute drunkard. And then Kelsey, oh man, I love my wife. She sat next to me on the bed just praying for me the entire time that the Lord was touching me. And I remember it would have been just after midnight, probably closer to 1 a.m. where I started to, I remember writing in my journal, Kelsey prayed, I thanked the Lord, and I got up. And it didn't end there because then I've got a journal that's half full where from about 1:30 in the morning to 2:30 in the morning, I just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote because the Lord encountered me and he gave me himself. He gave me visions of himself, visions of the future to come, things that he would do through my life. But then I had to write it out. And at the end of that, I said, Lord, would you make me the man that you could do this through? And it was an invitation. The encounter with the Holy Spirit was purely an invitation for him to disciple me into Christ-likeness. The encounter was incredible. And people were in awe. They're like, oh my gosh, God touched you. And I'm there trembling going, but Lord, you touched me. Now I have to actually become like you. It was such an incredible invitation from the Lord. One more. And then if the band want to come, because some people need to encounter the Lord tonight. Camp, youth camp last year, one of the most glorious times for our team, for our youth. The Lord just touched us so beautifully, but it wasn't in a service that he touched me. It wasn't in a moment that he encountered me and discipled me. It was in our year 11 boys really trying their hardest to prank me. And I tell you this story because it's so out of the box the way the Holy Spirit discipled me in this moment. They had came to camp thinking they were prepared and they're like, we're going to prank Pastor Thomas. We're going to get him. And they didn't. multiple times. I kept being out of turn around. So they're like, they put like toilet paper and like soap and like everything all over my car. And so they're all having dinner and I see it and I'm like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. And so I walk into the dining hall, grab the microphone. I'm like, guys, shh. And I'm like, hey guys, like someone's like toilet papered and like made like a mess of the site manager's car. And everyone's going, oh no, we're gonna get kicked out of the camp. Oh no. And I'm like, yeah, like it's all good. Like she's okay. She's just asking that whoever did it would clean up her car before she needs to go home. And everyone's like, oh no. And so the boys are sitting there like, I could see them. They're like, we're not gonna break. We're not going to break. And then a year 7 boy stands up and is like, I didn't do it, but I'm happy to clean it up. I'm like, I love you. And that's what broke the year 11 boys. And they broke and they're like, yep, we did it. And I just was like, awesome, thanks guys. Can you meet me after dinner? I'll have some buckets for you to clean up the car. And I put the microphone down, walked off and just turned around. I was like, no, that was my car. And the whole room just erupts. And it was like, yeah. And then they moved all my furniture out of my dorm. So they had like a nice little TV setting in the middle of like the grass area in front of my dorm. And they kept trying to prank me. The whole time, the Lord was speaking to me about childlikeness again. They had no idea. They just thought it was the best thing that they were trying to prank like Pastor Thomas. But the Lord, every single time, the Lord kept going, hey, you can be a child. You can show these young men part of yourself that you don't want to show them. You can be vulnerable in front of them. You can actually take the exterior, the teacher, the man of God that's up there, and you can start to show your humanity to them. Holy Spirit, night after night, was speaking to me because some young boys decided it was cool to prank their youth pastor. You see, when you invite Holy Spirit to be the primary discipler in your life, He will disciple you through anything you allow Him to. He will start to speak to you about, like I was on a run a couple of nights ago, and I was seeing the sunset go down over the city, and He was starting to speak to me about the sunset is going to go down on the rule of the enemy in this city of Melbourne. And He starts to disciple my heart to be actually faithful to that word of God. You see, He's the primary discipler. He'll encounter you in a moment, but that moment is always an invitation to become more Christ-like over the weeks, the months, the years to come. And I believe He wants to encounter some of us afresh today. So before the band even play a note, if you know you need a fresh touch of the Lord, I want you to start to come and fill these altars. Start to move. Start to go, God, I'm hungry. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. Blessed are those. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you don't know who God is, then come to the front and just be open to say, God, do whatever you want to do. I don't know you, God, but today I want to know you. I've never experienced you, Holy Spirit, in my life, but today I want to experience you. And the worship team are just going to lead us, not because there's anything magic about it, but because they're going to help us to center on God. Just start to cry out to Him as they minister and as they lead. Thank you, team. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.